Good morning. Y'all have to speak louder. There's not many of you out there. Morning. Well, what am I going to start this for? It is good to see you. I'll tell you what, as far as I'm concerned, the Canadians can keep their cold air. Maybe we're done with it. I don't know. But it's good to see you. Lord said, I don't know about you, but these things we call beatitudes are kind of surprising to me. Thank you so much. All the time I'd been studying the beatitudes, I thought the Lord was saying, well, there are some people who are meek, and there are some who mourn, and there are some this and some that. But the more I studied this, the more I realized he's talking about the same person. It's just a progress. It's a progressive thing that we go through. See, we'll try to help you see that. Put it right in our shoe leather. Takes it out of the area of what it is. So we're in the fifth chapter of Matthew this morning. All begin with the word blessed. Blessed, blessed. How many of you want to be blessed this morning? Now you keep that thought, will you? Because we'll see what that winds up being here in a minute. The blessed means to be satisfied. Satisfied. Full of joy. Now that's not what the system around us believes. If you're rich, you're blessed. If you're powerful, you're blessed. If you're handsome, you're blessed. Or if you're pretty, you're blessed. Or if you got influence, you're blessed. Well, that's what the world says, but you know what? Just like a lot of stuff, whatever the world says is not what Jesus says. And that's not what he says. We studied the Ten Commandments for a while, and I hope you remember that I said to you that the world thinks that a man is blessed by what he has. But the Ten Commandments, the emphasis primarily is on what a person does. It says, don't do this. Don't do this. Do that. Do that. But the Beatitudes go beyond the Ten Commandments that deal with an outward action. The Beatitudes that we're studying deal with our heart, deals with the attitudes that ought to be, as we've told you. So we'll read them right quick, and then we'll come to the Beatitude that we're looking at today. And seeing the multitudes, he went up into a mountain, and when he was set, his disciples came to him, and he opened his mouth, and he taught them, saying, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God, kingdom of heaven. First beatitude, blessed are those who see themselves spiritually bankrupt, morally bankrupt. They see their actual condition before God. And then in verse 4, blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. You see, after you see the condition of your life, your soul, your heart, and you see how spiritually bankrupt you are, what follows is contrition. We become broken about our sin. We become broken over our sin. and we become broken from that sin. Do you see there's a progress here? There's a sequence that we're going through. Repentance follows this sequence. Blessed are the meek. We called them the mighty meek last week. For they shall inherit the earth. That's compliance to a new master. Remember, that's strength under control. And yielded to the will of God. These beatitudes follow one after the other. They are a sequence for us to follow as well if we want to be blessed. Okay? This is the pathway to being blessed. So we come to verse 6, which is the one we're looking at today. Blessed are they which hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Another word translated, that word that's translated filled can also be translated satisfied. They shall be satisfied. So let's read it again. Blessed are they which hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. I'd like to talk to you for a few minutes about the secret to satisfaction. Satisfaction, okay? That I mean by that, having your deepest hunger met. Just met. Blessed are they which hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Now, in New York, there's a group of folks who work on Madison Avenue. You know what I'm talking about? They're the guys who make all the advertisements, and actually what they're in business for is creating in you and me certain hungers. Maybe stuff we didn't even know we needed or that we hungered after. They advertise things that make us want to have whatever that is that they're advertising. You know, you're watching television. You're just sitting there minding your own business, and all of a sudden this commercial comes on with this guy getting a big old glass of cold iced tea, and you got to get up and go to the refrigerator and find you some tea. You didn't even know you was thirsty until that thing came on, you see. They're creating a desire. That's their business, to create a desire in your heart. They're pretty good at it, aren't they? You know, many times, because of Madison Avenue, we go out and buy things we don't need with money we don't have to impress people we don't even like. Amen? That's what we do. I mean, they create in us a certain kind of hunger. Now listen to me. God, by the Holy Spirit, is wanting today in this message to create a hunger of something that you really do need. As a matter of fact, you desperately need it. As another matter of fact, you can't live like you're supposed to without it. To hunger and to thirst after righteousness. If you do that, and if you will do that, there's not any question, I can promise you, satisfaction guaranteed. Okay. Blessed are they which hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. What does it mean to hunger after righteousness? And what are we talking about when we say righteousness? I imagine that most of us are thinking of righteousness as something that we do. Righteousness is something that we do. But listen, in the Bible, righteousness is a person. Righteousness is a person. Righteousness is the Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 30 tells us that Jesus Christ is our righteousness. And we are made righteous through him. When a person hungers and thirsts after righteousness, he is hungering and thirsting after the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, you got to get that, or the rest of this message won't mean a thing to you. Okay? You got to get that. Life's hidden hunger is Jesus Christ himself. That's its hidden hunger. You might not know it. You might not understand it. Yeah, earlier, most of us have never come on the brink of starving to death in this country, but we do know about hunger. God made us. He created us so that we would get hungry physically and thirsty physically. There's nothing wrong with that. But now listen to me. If that's what you put the first need in your life on, food, water, whatever it might happen to be, you've already made a mistake. Now stay with me on this. Matthew 6:33, Jesus talking about food and fashion and fitness, and he says, after all these things, the Gentiles seek after. He's talking to all those Jews. But you seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things, food, fashion, fitness, all of that will be added to you. Okay? Nothing wrong with food. Nothing wrong with fashion. Nothing wrong with fitness in their place. Let me tell you where their place is. Are you listening? Second. It's second. The righteousness of Jesus Christ is the first thing that we seek. God is not going to take second place to anybody or anything. Did you hear me say that? Don't let it go in one ear and out the other, because Satan's helpers like to just stop up your ears when somebody says that. Okay? He's not ever going to satisfy with being second place on anything. So how are you to seek the Lord Jesus Christ? Preeminently. Preeminently. He's to be first. See, Jesus is heaven's bread for man's deepest hunger. So let's look at this verse again. Blessed are they which hunger and thirst after righteousness. Blessed are those who are hungering and thirsting after Jesus. Does that help you to understand that a little better? Hungering and thirsting after Jesus. That is, those who are putting him first, those who are involved in seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, all these other things shall be added to you. He's not going to work in your life in second place. Have I made that clear? He's not going to do it. He's God. I mean, he is Almighty God, and he will not take second place to anything. Now, you see, what most folks do is this. They're not seeking righteousness. They're seeking blessedness. When I asked you that question, it was loaded, wasn't it? Everybody said, yeah, I want to be blessed. But now I want to tell you what you need to be seeking is righteousness. Righteousness. If I were to announce like last week, well, I'm going to talk to you folks about the secret of satisfaction. Some would say, yeah, well, that's what I want. I want satisfaction. The problem is, by wanting satisfaction, you don't get it. Blessedness. You don't get it by wanting it. You don't get happiness by wanting it. What you need is not primarily happiness and satisfaction and blessing. What you need primarily is the right relationship on a daily, ongoing basis with the Lord Jesus Christ. So pay attention. When you get Jesus, when you receive Jesus, when you hunger and thirst after Jesus, then you get blessed. It is a byproduct. He did not say, blessed are they which hunger and thirst after blessedness, did he? He said after righteousness. Well, what's the difference? What's the difference? You know, in your life, that lack of blessedness, that lack of joy, that lack of satisfaction, that lack of peace, that lack of fulfillment, all of those things are symptoms. They're just symptoms. They tell you that there's something wrong spiritually. And the symptom that tells you that something is wrong is meant to cause you to seek the remedy which is in Christ Jesus. Now, you go to the doctor because you're feeling bad. I mean, you got pain, you've got some shakes, you're a little dehydrated. You know, you got all these awful symptoms. And so you go to the doctor and he checks you out and he says, yeah, you're sick, all right. So I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to give you a pill to take care of your pain. That's what I'm going to do. And he gives you that pill, and that's all he does. And you go out of there, and you might feel okay for a little while because of the drug that he gave you, but it don't last. You still got all that other stuff. What kind of a doctor is that? That just treats symptoms and not the illness. Too many of those in this country, in my opinion, these days. That's kind of what we get. But when I go to a doctor and I hurt, I want him to make me feel better. I don't want him to just treat the symptom. If all he does is deaden the pain without dealing with the infection that's causing the pain, as far as I'm concerned, that's not good medicine. See? Well, a good doctor is going to find the cause of your pain. He's going to find the cause of that fever you're running. He's going to find why you are ill, and he's not just going to deaden the pain, and he's not going to try to just kill the symptoms, because symptoms are God-given to us to let us know something is wrong, and we got to get it fixed. Isn't that so? That's right. The unhappiness that we feel, the lack of fulfillment that we experience, the lack of joy that's in our lives, are you listening? Those are all symptoms. That's all they are. And if you treat the symptom without treating the disease, what would you call that? How about foolish? Is that a good word? The Bible doesn't say, blessed are they which hunger and thirst after blessedness. Blessed are they who hunger and thirst after peace. Blessed are they who hunger and thirst after anything except righteousness. Because, you see, we have a basic problem. What is it? Unrighteousness. That's what we're born into this world with, and it controls and runs our lives. Am I right? Say amen. That's it. Out of unrighteousness comes all these other things that we get involved in and do that's wrong. And so until we come to the place where we see that Jesus Christ is our deepest need, until we bring all of our ambitions into focus to seek the Lord Jesus Christ, our deepest hungers are not going to be met. Deepest needs are not going to be met. So we have in the physical world hunger, and we have thirsting. Nothing wrong with any of that. If you have physical hunger, though, spiritual things won't help you with your physical hunger. Just won't happen. Say you invite me over to your house for a meal, and I'm looking forward to that because I know you're a good cook. And so I go light on breakfast and I go light on lunch because I'm planning on putting you out of business when we get to your house. See? Well, I arrive over there at your house and you invite me in and say, listen, we've been doing some work on our garden. I'd like to show it to you. And so we go out there and we look at the garden and all the things you've been doing there. And then you say, you know what, Pastor, I've got some new books. Let's go in the house. Let me show you what I've managed to pick up. And about that time, I got a little growl down here, you know. What are we going to eat? Well, we look at those books. And then she says, you know, my wife loves to antique shop, and I want to show you something that she just bought. And you say, and I've taken up painting. And so we look at some of the stuff you've been painting on. And then he says, honey, come in here and play the piano for the pastor so he can hear that new song that you've learned. I'm looking at flowers. I'm looking at antiques. I'm listening to music, and I'm listening to the growl in my stomach. And I'm saying, I wonder when we eat. Not out loud, but I'm thinking, wonder when we're going to eat. Finally, we get to the table. Beautiful. Beautiful set table, cut flowers, everything on there. You know why people do sometimes? Got candles on the table, but there's no food on there. No food. Now let me ask you, what good is all that other stuff that I've been going through? None of those things can meet the need for food. Amen? I mean, it's nice to look at, but it's not meeting any kind of a need. Now, food can never meet the need of your deepest longing, which, whether you know it or not, is the Lord Jesus Christ. You are a physical being, but you are also a spiritual being. And you have to have the Lord Jesus Christ in the proper way, according to the Word. Now, in the material realm, what we're talking about, food and water, are absolute necessities. They are not luxuries, although they might be in some parts of this world. But if you don't eat physically, sooner or later, you're going to die. If you don't drink water, sooner or later, you're going to die. Listen, are you paying attention? It's the same way in the spiritual realm. Jesus Christ is not a luxury. Jesus Christ is a necessity. Would you say that with me? Jesus Christ is a necessity. Let's put it in the right area. So what are you to seek when you seek righteousness? Say his name, Jesus Christ. We're to seek Christ, and we're to seek him preeminently. Now, you see, that means that all you will ever need spiritually is Jesus Christ. Let me open a can of worms here, because people talk about a second blessing, you know. They say, well, now you've been saved, you've received Jesus, have you gone on and gotten the second blessing? I ask the Lord to make me really kind at this point, if he would. Because I got to tell you, dear friend, all you need in this universe is Jesus Christ. I mean, he is all of it. Put that down. The fullness of God dwells in him. The fullness of God dwells in him, and he dwells in us. Not talking about a second blessing here. You see, we're to seek Jesus. Because when you get Jesus, you got it all, and you'll never be able to go beyond Jesus. You can go deeper into Jesus. You can get closer to Jesus, but you can't go beyond Jesus. I've been asked, Brother Dave, have you gotten the second blessing? To which I usually answer whimsically, yes, I definitely have. Well, they always say, tell me about it. And I tell them the second blessing is discovering what I got in the first blessing. And I'll tell you what, I've had a third blessing too, and the third blessing is discovering I didn't discover it all in the second one. In fact, I'm going to spend my whole life learning about Jesus because I can never go beyond him. Amen. Now, y'all might not know it, but that's pretty good preaching right there. Amen. Amen. We are to seek Jesus Christ preeminently. We are to seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And Jesus Christ is the righteousness of God applied to us. He's the Alpha and the Omega, he says. Of course, that's the first and the last letter in the Greek alphabet. And so in our vernacular, they're saying about Jesus that he's A to Z and everything in between. Now, you go down to the county library here in Odessa, and they got books to the ceiling. I mean, they got books everywhere. Got lots and lots and lots of books. Lots of wisdom in there, lots of stories, lots of information, all of those things. But all that wisdom and all that truth in that library is just a handful of letters. There are 26 in our vocabulary, in our alphabet. There are 26 of them. And they just get arranged in different arrangements, don't they, to make words and to do all of those things. But there's just 26 of them. Now listen, all the wisdom of God is in Jesus Christ, who is Alpha and Omega. He's A through Z. He is everything. It's all there. And so you seek after Christ preeminently. How do you seek after Christ? Preeminently. First place. I mean, you seek after him. There was a dear old lady who had a favorite verse, like many of us do in the Bible. It happened to be, I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he's able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. She loved that verse. And she'd share it with just about anybody that she sat down and had a conversation with. It was her favorite verse. I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. But as she got older, dementia began to set into her mind. And she couldn't remember things like she used to. It came to the point where she'd try to quote her verse and she'd say something like, I know, I have committed, I know whom, but she couldn't quite get all of it out and would get confused. Finally, when she got to her deathbed, her memory had come down to just one word, him. And all she could say was him. But you see, in that one word, are you listening? She had the whole Bible. She had it all. So you seek Jesus preeminently. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Who is the righteousness of God? Make sense? See? That's who we seek. Now let me tell you how else to seek him. Not only preeminently, but we also have to seek him passionately. Passionately. The Lord's talking about hunger here, talking about thirst. What are the marks of a hungry person? I think there are at least three of those. You see, a hungry person is he's deliberately looking for food, right? I mean, he's hungry. He wants to eat. Jesus is not talking about a person here who just has an appetite. Jesus is talking about a starving person here who sees himself as broken and bankrupt and famished. What are the marks of that kind of hunger? I'll tell you what, if you were that hungry, you wouldn't care what kind of flour somebody had on the table, would you? That's not what you'd be looking for, whatever. You wouldn't care what the latest ball scores are. What you want is to put something in your stomach because you're starving to death. You've got to have something to eat. That kind of a person is focused. His focus is very narrow. He wants food. He wants water. And he's reached a point of deliberation. His mind is working on how to get food, how to get water. And now, why am I saying? You see, we come to church, and our minds are in 1,000 or 100 different places, just like they are right now. See? When I said that, it snapped some of you back to focus just a little bit. But our minds wander and they go off in all kinds of different directions. Now let me tell you why that's so. Are you listening? We're not hungry. We're not focused on spiritual hunger. We're just not hungry. We don't have any determination that we're going to find spiritual food. A man who is on a deliberate search for food has set his face, so to speak, to do that. He's searching for food. He's going to be fed. Seen folks come to church and they feel like they've done God a wild favor just by getting there. And I see this many times. Just being honest with you. Folks come in and they sit down like this. Now, you folks got your arms crossed, uncross them. They sit down like this and say, okay, boy, just try to bless me. You just go ahead and give it your best shot. You just see if you can bless me or not. I'm here to see what this fool's got to say. Well, you know, they listen a little bit and they got this mental argument going on. And they always have a but in there. They hear what's being said. But I don't really see it that way. About that situation. You know what's the problem? They're not hungry. They're just not hungry. They're not desperate for spiritual food. They're not trying to be fed. Remember, they showed up to bless God, not the other way around. Can you imagine some starving guy saying, well, if anybody wants to feed me, it'll be all right. But I've heard people say, if God wants to save me, he can. He can. You see, blessed are they which hunger and thirst after righteousness. Family had gone to bed, and little girl was in the room by herself, bedroom by herself, and she said, Mama, I need a drink of water. It's already fairly late at night. Mom got out of bed and got the little girl a drink of water. About 30, 40 minutes later, she heard, Mama, can I have another drink of water? Mom got up, got her another little drink of water, and she said, now that's it. You go to sleep. 20 minutes later, Mama, I need a drink of water. Happened again. This time, Mama said, young lady, if you call me for water again, I'm going to spank you. In about 20 minutes, heard this little voice, Mama, when you get up to spank me, will you bring me a drink of water? You see, folks, a person who's thirsty is willing to pay the price. They're willing to pay the price. A person who is not thirsty or not hungry is not willing to pay a price. There was a time when there were men who were out of work all over this country, and they were pretty itinerant. They went from town to town to town looking for work. And one of those guys knocked on the door one day, and he asked the lady who answered the door, he said, lady, would you be willing to feed a hungry man? She said, are you willing to work? He said, well, it doesn't look like there's any work to do around here. She said, no, no. When you came up the road, there was a pile of wood down there that needs sawing. She said, I was watching you when you passed that pile of wood, and I know that you saw it. He said, lady, you saw me seen it, but you ain't seen me saw it. Now, what was his trouble? He wasn't all that hungry, was he? He didn't really need food all that bad. When they're hungry, they get into a deliberate quest for food. It becomes a deliberate thing. That's how we all to come to church, seeking the righteousness of God, with a deep hunger in our heart to receive it right into our very soul and let it permeate our very being and change us from the inside out, not set in judgment of what's being said. There was an old gospel song. I don't know if you ever heard. I was about a guy who didn't know Jesus, and then he got serious about it, and he said, I prayed to God in earnest, my poor soul, it must be fed. Could you say that today? Your soul must be fed from God's word. He goes on to say, I prayed to God in earnest, not caring what men said. I was hungry for the blessing. My poor soul, it must be fed. So not only is a hungry person on a determined quest, not only are they on a deliberate quest, but it's also desperate. They desperately need food, and they'll go anywhere, do almost anything, pay any price. I have witnessed people trying to eat out of garbage cans, scooping in there trying to get stuff that's already been thrown away because they are so hungry. Lost their pride. And, you know, folks come to church and some of them want to find something to criticize. You know that? They do. Now let's get something straight. If you need something to criticize, here I am. You criticize me. There's plenty to find about me that you can criticize there, and leave everybody else alone. Just do it. Just go ahead and do your criticism. It's quite all right. I'm going to say to you, there's some things about me I'm just glad you don't know. See? And before you start looking too smug, you can say the same thing, can't you? Exactly right. That sort of attitude is found all over this world. A guy sits down at a table and he says, the salt's damp. Or the china has got a chip in it. Or this is a dirty tablecloth. You know, he's going to find one thing or another. But let me tell you what, when people are criticizing, are you listening to me? They're not hungry for the Word of God. They're not seeking the Word of God. Yes, sir. Yeah, because you got that desire. You know what that is, huh? See, that's a good point. That's the same kind of hunger and desire we got to have for the Lord Jesus Christ. We'd be willing to pay any price to have that. And what I'm trying to teach you is how to be satisfied. That's worth doing, is it not? Okay, exactly right. Hungry to find Jesus. So, you see what we're saying here, it just really depends on the appetite you bring with you, to the church. And I'm not talking physical appetite here, am I? You know, I notice plenty of people show up usually when we're having a feed. Because they want that. But we're talking about a spiritual appetite here. There was a lady said to her pastor, I don't like the way you preach. He said, well, what was wrong? She said, it's your language. It's just not elegant. She said, today, you said in your sermon the word pants. And you know, pants should be, you should say trousers. That's a lot more elegant. He said, okay, ma'am, I'll try to remember that. He said, what else did you remember about the sermon? She said, well, frankly, I don't remember anything else. Well, he said, if I hadn't said pants, you wouldn't got anything out of this sermon, would you? Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness. A person who is hungry, thirsty, is on a deliberate, determined, desperate search for food. There's a lot of difference in that and just showing up. Isn't that right? Bless me if you can. Just try. You're not going to do a better job than anybody else. We need to see Jesus Christ as our greatest need. I'm going to say that again. We need to see Jesus Christ as our greatest need. Not some habit that we have or something that we want. Jesus Christ is our greatest need. We have to seek Christ like a starving man seeks after food. And when you come to the place where you're doing that, I want to tell you something. You will find him. You will find him. Well, why is it that people aren't hungry? What causes this? Well, sometimes a person is sick. You know, when you feel bad, you can just lose your appetite. Or it could be because you're already full of something else. You know, been out there feeding from the world's garbage cans. That stuff. The Bible says in Proverbs 27, the full soul loathes a honeycomb. That means if you're full, even honey doesn't sound good to you. You see? But to the hungry soul, every bitter thing is sweet. The third thing I want to say, and we'll be out of here. First of all, we desire Christ preeminently. We seek him preeminently. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Secondly, you desire Jesus Christ passionately to hunger and to thirst after Jesus. But then we get to enjoy Jesus perpetually. Just a continual enjoyment of him every day. Blessed are they which hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. You want to say that word? Satisfied. That's a good word, isn't it? See, that's what we need. God knows that. Now, I don't know how much of God you have. And I'm not trying to be shocking, but I can tell you this. Are you listening? You got all of God you want. Do you know that? You have. You got all of God that you actually want. If you got a shallow thirst, you're going to have a very shallow satisfaction. If you have a small hunger, you're going to have a small satisfaction. But blessed are they who hunger and thirst, for they shall be satisfied. That's why I can say to you, I guarantee it. Jesus is the one who made that guarantee. He's the one who said, you will be satisfied. Because when you're filled with righteousness, you're filled with blessedness, because you have this hidden hunger that can only be met by the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't ever get the idea that righteousness is a negative thing. See, the Pharisees were known for what they didn't do. Today it's we don't smoke and we don't chew and we don't go with the girls that do. That's the philosophy, right? Well, that was Jesus' day too, one of those Pharisees doing that. We get this idea, if I'm going to be righteous, I can't have any fun at all. I mean, just takes all the joy out of life. Let me just tell you that's wrong. If you're going to be righteous, you're going to be blessed. Blessed. Happiness and holiness are linked together. You don't lose the good things of life when you come to Jesus. As a matter of fact, he said, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and what's going to happen? All these other things will be added to you. Didn't say they'd be taken from you, did it? No, they shall be added. You enjoy all those things so much more in the context of righteousness. So don't get into that negative thing. The Bible says in 1 Timothy 6:17 that God gives us richly all things to enjoy. He doesn't just want us to be blessed. He wants us to get our priorities right. He wants us to seek him preeminently. He wants us to seek him passionately. And then we will enjoy him perpetually. Boy, don't you love that? That's how it's supposed to work. If you give your heart to Jesus Christ today and you get saved and you receive him as your personal Savior, well, if you get all that done, you don't have to seek him anymore, right? That's where most of us are today. You just don't have to seek him anymore. You don't have to desire him anymore. Jesus is using an illustration that everybody can understand from the physical realm. He's saying in the physical realm, your spiritual hungers are like physical hungers. Ah, We used to make a big deal out of Thanksgiving. Boy, I miss those days. I really do. Family, I'll go somewhere, you know, all the family get together. And you're smelling it, cooking out there in the kitchen, man, you know. And sure enough, it gets set out. You got pumpkin pie. You got pecan pie. You got apple pie. And you got turkey, and you got dressing, and you got gravy, and in some houses you've got green bean casserole, and not in our house. All that good stuff, cranberry sauce. And you can't wait, and you gather around that big old table, and everybody sits there, and they talk, and they eat. And they talk, and they eat, and after a while, you made a pretty good dent what's on the table, and you're just hurting on the inside, and I know you've said this, I have. I don't think I'll ever eat again. Huh? I just don't think I ever eat again. But you know what? That's about, what, 2:30, maybe 3 o'clock in some places? But 7 o'clock, what are you doing? You in there grazing, looking in the refrigerator, trying to find what's left out there to do that thing. You know, there it is. I can tell you know what I'm talking about. But you see, you were satisfied with that food. But then after a while, you got hungry again. Now, that's the way God made us. In the physical realm, we eat, and then we get hungry again. And so we eat again. None of it, physical or spiritual, is once for all. The only thing once for all, spiritual, is salvation. You get saved, you're always going to be saved. But after that, you've got to keep seeking these things and be a part of it. God gave us that continual need and hunger for these things to make us better. On my knees this morning, I found that satisfaction. On my knees today, I have fed on heaven's bread. When you come to the Lord Jesus Christ and you're continually being hungry and continually being satisfied, that's the very reason that I say that when you desire Him preeminently, when you seek Him passionately, you're going to enjoy Him perpetually. Because He's going to meet the deepest needs of your heart. And when you meet the Lord Jesus Christ in all of His fullness, in all of His sweetness, then you will have that blessedness that comes when all these other things are added to you. Wow. What a great God. What a great God we serve. I want you to know, my friends, I'm not inviting you to a funeral today. I'm inviting you to a feast. Let's seek the kingdom of God first and His righteousness. Because blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be, say that word with me, blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be. You got it. Heavenly Father, how grateful we are to serve a God like You, the only God in this universe. And all that You are and all that You have and all that You give, thank You for it. Lord, thank You for these words of wisdom that the Lord Jesus said to us. Now, may the Holy Spirit hide them in our hearts and use them to grow us spiritually and to bring that deep satisfaction in our souls. But Father, there may be someone here today who's never been able to come to that place of surrendering to Jesus, doesn't know what it is to be tamed and under the control of the Holy Spirit, and to have eternal life as their destiny. Lord, we want to offer them that opportunity right now. And I just simply pray that Your Spirit would move among us from person to person to person and draw them close to Christ. We love You, Father, and we give You praise and glory because we are able to pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Now look, we want to give you an opportunity to receive Christ as your Savior. If you're going to seek after Him, you're going to have to know Him as your Savior. It's the only folks who have that privilege are saved folks. See? It's the only ones. Now, you say it must be really hard to get saved. No, it isn't hard. It takes some people a hard, long time to get there, but it's not all that difficult. So I'm going to ask you, if you want to receive Christ today, we're going to help you by praying all together out loud, and you can join in. Just talk to the Lord and ask Him into your heart. Will you do that? Church, this is a good time, isn't it, when we all pray to receive Christ? I hope we're not taking that for granted. This is a time when in heaven, I think the angels are looking over the walls of glory and looking down at us and seeing, is that lost guy going to get saved today, you know? And we're helping them out. Amen. So join with me, would you? And if you're lost and you want to receive Christ, you say these words to Him. It's not the words that are going to save you. It's what's in your heart, okay? It's the faith that He'll find there. Heavenly Father, I'm lost. I'm a sinner. And I ask forgiveness. Thank You, Jesus, for paying for my sins on that cross. Lord Jesus, come into my heart and be my Lord and my Savior. And I thank You for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen. And amen and amen. Help us out a little bit here. If you prayed that prayer for the first time, would you get one of those green sheets that's in the back of the pew there in front of you or on one of those tables? For the first time, fill that out. Put your name and address, telephone number on there. Our young lady who helps us run these down and do all of this on a weekly basis has been in the hospital all week. Darlene Thomas has had a little problem, I guess, with might be her diabetes. It's flaring up again. But she's chomping at the bit to get back out and to get to be able to talk to you folks and do what have you. You remember Darlene, would you, in your prayers? And we'll be in touch with you, and we'll be setting up an appointment at a time when we can talk personally about these matters. We don't have any desire to embarrass you in any way or make any kind of demand on your life whatsoever. Just want to help you grow in God's kingdom. Okay? Amen. Church is tonight at 6 o'clock. Yes, ma'am.
I was thinking during this sermon, and after the prayer that we just prayed, asking Jesus to come into our hearts, that means the Holy Spirit has come in and dwelled in us. So why would we invite someone into our heart that we don't know?
Yeah.
That's where reading the scripture is so important, because you get to know the God that you've invited into your life. Samantha, when is your walk for life?
It's been canceled?
No, it's the when is it? The 20th? Okay. Samantha over here is going to be doing a walk for life for cancer. And she's raising money. So if you'd like to help her, raise your hand. Wave. Are y'all walking too?
They're just raising their hand.
Okay.
They got caught up in a minute.
Oh, you're going to coach her? Okay. Samantha is up here, so if you'd like to support her with the Walk for Life and cancer, she is in, well, she's going to be graduating from high school, and she is in nursing school at the same time.
Wow.
Commend her. Give her a hug.
Amen.
So this donation is going to be help for cancer research, but it's for the nursing classes that she's walking with. I think that's got it.
Okay. Gentlemen, listening, next Saturday at 8 o'clock at Golden Corral, what is it dubbed as? The Golden Trough? Yeah. Well, anyhow, us guys are going to meet over there for a fellowship breakfast at 8 o'clock. You know, that's a pretty good... Yes, sir. 8 o'clock on Saturday. You got to make some kind of adjustments, right? Most of the guys would go set in the deer blind or get in that boat a lot earlier than that if they get an opportunity to do so. So we're just going to come together. We're just going to have fellowship and what have you, and get to enjoy knowing one another. So that's this next Saturday at 8 o'clock. Okay? Y'all got that? All right. I hope to see you there. Well, would you stand, please? It's good to have Ron back with us. He's been gallivanting all over the countryside doing this and that. He's been in some rodeos and stuff like that. He brought some books in here by World Champion Cowboy. This is the second volume, and he sent them to us. You're welcome to a free copy of that if there are any left. You just help yourself. There's stories in there that you might enjoy. Okay? Ron has recently been blessed with a new automobile. And we're grateful. I've been worried about him getting along in that one he had. Truly, the Lord kept him going. I don't see how it could have run anymore unless the Lord kept it going. So we're grateful for that. And what I'd like to do in this prayer is ask the Lord to just keep that thing running that he's got now and bless him as he uses it to go all these different churches and places and what have you. And to take care of all the financial needs and things that'll come along with it. Okay? Let's do that. Thank you for coming. Hope you'll come back tonight and visit with us and worship with us at 6 o'clock. Father God, we are grateful to you, and we thank you for your presence among us today. Lord, we remember Sue Hancock this morning. I know she's much more ill today and yesterday than she's been in a while. We just lift her up to you and ask that you'd comfort her, and pray you'd bless Benny as well and strengthen him during this particular time. We mentioned Darlene Thomas, and Lord, we ask you to heal her and bring her back among us. There are others as well who have illnesses and needs, and we just pray for them and ask you to bless. But as we go to our homes, Lord, we ask that you'd go with us, that you'd prosper us, that you'd keep us from evil, and that you'd keep us from harm. And we love you, Father, and we do want to seek after your righteousness with all our hearts, because we pray in Jesus' name, amen.